dreams. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
What a wonderful way to start our time together in the presence of the Lord to lift up the name of Jesus. Well, over a century ago, an ocean liner sank off the southwest coast of England, taking many people down with it. A 16-year-old galley boy was tossed up along the rugged shore, who survived by clinging to a rock all night long. When he was rescued, he was asked, "Didn't you shake as you were clinging all night to that rock?" The boy replied, "Yes, of course. But that rock never shook once." Well, this story... Oh, I guess I didn't turn my...
No, I guess not. Sorry. You want that mic or this mic?
This is good. I forgot. Well, anyway, this story of the survival of a 16-year-old boy reminds me of another story about a rock that was masterfully and marvelously told by the Lord Jesus himself to teach his followers that the right way to build a life is to build it on the rock by doing what he, who is the rock, says to you and to me. This is because the Lord Jesus knows far in advance that storms will come into our lives, the lives of his true followers, threatening to shake and shatter their lives. So it is important for you and for me to build on a rock. But like the young boy who clung to the rock all night long, believers can also cling to Christ, our rock and refuge, and be safe and secure, even in the storms of life. So this brings me to the heart of the message God has given me to you. God has given me to deliver to you at this urgent hour in your life and my life. So please, I want you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit is ready and resolved to plant the seed of God's precious and powerful truth in order to change genuine, born-again believers among us here today more into the blessed image of Jesus Christ, who is the rock and refuge of the church, and to convict unbelievers among us here today of their sin of unbelief, gently and graciously leading them to genuine repentance and personal saving faith in Jesus Christ, who is the Redeemer and Rescuer of repentant sinners. So here is my message in a nutshell. Please, I want you to listen carefully to it with an open heart and an open mind. Listen. Only the life that is built on the foundation of obedience to God's word stands firm.
Praise the Lord.
In the storms of life. In other words, the right way to build life, your life, or to be build my life, is to hear the words of Christ and heed them in reliance upon the power of the Holy Spirit. Folks, friends, faithful followers of Christ among us here today, and fellow believers in the fold, and flock in the family and fellowship of God, the Bible is going to vividly and visually, freshly and forcefully show us or remind us today that it is not enough to profess Christ, but one must also practice what he teaches. In other words, it is not sufficient for you and me to give lip service to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, because genuine faith in Jesus produces obedience to him. You see, it is not mere words that mark true believers in Jesus, but whether they live out or do what he says in the power of the Spirit. So as we begin a new year, one of the most significant questions to you and to me that we need to ask ourselves sincerely is this. And I want you to listen carefully to it, because it's the most important question you need to listen to and I will need to listen to at the beginning of this new year. Am I building my life the right way? Am I building my life on the right foundation? Or am I going to go through the motions for another year? Sadly, many have gone through the motions year after year without pausing to ask themselves if their life is being built on the right foundation and in the right way. The Lord Jesus himself is going to show us in a clear and convincing manner today the right way to build our lives, to stand firm even in the storms of life. So if you have your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verse 46 to 49. Will you please listen carefully as I recite our Gospel story from the updated New American Standard Bible, which my old one was overused, so my sister here bought me a new one, and I'm trying to break it now. So,
my brother, it's old, but it still works.
Yeah, it still works. Good. So, here's the gospel story for us tonight. Luke chapter 6, verse 46 to 49. The Bible says, why? Luke 6, chapter 6, is the third gospel in the New Testament, and you can look at the index and find the page to go to for Luke. The Bible says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my voice and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against the house and could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation, and the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. This is the word of God to the people of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy word. Now please just allow me to unpack the spiritual lessons that are preserved in this rich and remarkable passage of scripture. First of all, notice that our gospel story, which Jesus himself is talking about, begins with a penetrating question. We see that in verse 46. The Bible says again, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" I tell you, friends, no one asks penetrating questions like the Lord Jesus himself. In fact, this is one of the most penetrating questions in all of the Bible, because it is a question that is intended to pierce your heart and pierce my heart. You see, Jesus doesn't ask questions just to keep the conversation going, as we often do. Well, he will allow you to question him when you need to. When you need to, in the right way. He doesn't just use questions as a filler in conversing with people, just to let people to talk. You see, Jesus doesn't ask questions that are irrelevant. Jesus asks questions that draw us out, listen carefully, to consider what matters the most in our lives. That's what he does. When you look at all the questions he's asked, he will ask questions that will draw you out. He will ask you questions that draws you out in order for you to ponder on what is the most important thing in your life and my life. That is why his question here is not only penetrating, but very profound and powerful. But you ask, why is his question also profound and penetrating? Well, please listen. It is profound, listen carefully, because Jesus affirms that he is Lord. Notice Jesus didn't say, "You are wrong in calling me Lord." He didn't say, "You are mistaken about my identity." Why? It's because he is Lord. Yes, he is the Lord of lords. Yes, he is the Lord of all. Yes, he's the Lord of the universe. So please, let's all say, to drive this message home, let's all say today, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Now, the Bible says no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So if you say Jesus is Lord today, it is the work of the Holy Spirit. And if you said it and meant it, it's the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. His question is also powerful because it is intended to make us pause and ponder afresh if our profession is all mere talk but no practice. What a day it was when the Lord Jesus, speaking with divine authority, asked this penetrating question. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Hearts were pounding as they listened to this penetrating, profound, and powerful question. My prayer to you, for you and for me today, is that your heart and my heart will be pounding as the Holy Spirit himself thrusts this question upon your heart. "Why do you call me Lord and do not do what I say?"
He is Lord.
Yes, he's Lord. Now someone says, who is this question directed to? Is it directed to the religious leaders of Israel? That is the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes? Is it directed to the rulers and elders and the chief priests of Israel? Well, please listen. This question, listen, is specifically directed to those who profess to follow Jesus. You see, the religious leaders never profess to follow Jesus, let alone call him Lord. In fact, they called him all kinds of derogatory names. They called Jesus a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, just to mention a few. So what's the point? The point here is that Jesus is speaking directly to all his followers present at a time, including his 12 disciples. The Bible is making it very plain that Jesus intends, listen, to be taken very seriously by his followers. I need to take Jesus seriously. If I'm not going to take Jesus seriously, I have no business following him. And if you are not going to take Jesus seriously, you have no business calling him Lord. He's telling them, his followers, that confession, apart from commitment to obey him, is worthless. He's telling them profession, apart from practice, is useless, is cheap talk. He's saying to them, practice, not mere profession, reflects genuine relationship with him. You see, if the audience of Jesus was relaxing and patting themselves on the back, in the assumption that the preceding teachings, that is, if you look at verses 41 to 45, Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees and their followers. So if they could say, well, Jesus is still speaking to the Pharisees and followers. But this was directed to his followers, and they could not dodge the direct force of this penetrating question. Jesus wants them to think about what it means to call him Lord. As we have begun this new year, have you asked yourself, what does it mean for me to call Jesus as Lord? Have you stopped and pondered, or are you going to go through the motions again for another year? Well, what does it mean for you and for me to call Jesus Lord? Well, please listen carefully now. To call Jesus Lord means I belong to him and I delight to serve his interests. To call Jesus Lord means I am entirely surrendered to him. To call Jesus Lord means I am fully and wholly devoted to him as my Lord. It means Jesus has absolute sway over my life. It means Jesus has complete authority over my life. It means I am obligated to do whatever Jesus says to me because I know in my heart of heart that he loves me and wants his very best for me all the time. So the question is that what it means for you to call Jesus Lord? If not, why not? You see, my friends, to call Jesus and fail to do what he says is not only an affront to him, but also absurdly contradictory. A mere professed acknowledgement of the lordship of Jesus Christ says, Jesus says, is not enough. The Bible is teaching us here that true love and faith in Jesus involves what? Obedience to Jesus Christ. Please listen. You really don't love Jesus if you don't do what he says. That's just the bottom line. And I'm not going to make it worse for you. It's the bottom line that Jesus is saying. If you don't do what I say, all your love talk is cheap. It's bottom line. A Christian poet writes this, and I want you to listen carefully to it. He says this: ye call me the way and walk me not. Remember, Jesus is the way. Ye call me the life and live me not. Ye call me master and obey me not. If I condemn thee, blame me not. Ye call me bread and eat me not. Ye call me truth and believe me not. Ye call me Lord and serve me not. If I condemn thee, blame me not. So the point is clear. Practice is what matters, not mere profession. Well, to further drive home his important teaching regarding building our life the right way and on the right foundation, the Lord Jesus masterfully tells the story of two builders. Most of us have been around building construction. We see houses being built up. Well, let's look at the story of the first builder. That is the parable of the person who practices the words of Christ. The Lord Jesus is going to show us that the evidence of whether one is truly a believer is whether one puts Jesus' words into practice. This is what verses 47 to 48 are all about. First of all, please listen again to what the Bible, the Lord Jesus says in verse 47. He says, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you." So Jesus is talking. He said, "I will show you whom he's like."
He's like himself.
What? Close.
He's like Jesus.
Well, anyway, this verse, literally in the original, reads, "Everyone coming to me and hearing of me the words and doing them, I will show you to whom he's like." Notice the expression coming, hearing, and doing. We call that present participle. It's a continuous action. The Lord Jesus is speaking here of a believer, listen, whose life is characterized by continually hearing the words of Christ and continually heeding them. He's speaking of a believer whose life is marked by constantly listening to Christ's words and constantly living them out in his or her life, in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus says, in effect, "Do you want to know the man or woman who is building his life or her life the right way and on the right foundation?" He says, "Don't let anyone deceive you with flowery and false words as to who that person is. I am now going to show you that person in this simple and straightforward voice. That man's or woman's life is characterized by the continual hearing of my words and commitment to continually heed them." In other words, he's saying, this person that I want to show you is not a casual hearer of my word and a casual doer of my word. He's not a person who only hears Christ when it is convenient to him or to her. And that's what Jesus says, when it is convenient to her or to him. Actually, I love Jesus. One reason I love Jesus is that he always does what he says. Remember, he says in verse 27, "I will show you the person who hears my words and does them." He says, "I'll show you that person." Now in verse 48, he shows us the person who is building his life the right way and on the right foundation. He says in the first part of verse 48, he's like a man building a house who dug deep, literally dug deep and went deep and laid a foundation on the rock. Jesus is saying, simply obeying Jesus, listen, is like building a house on a strong and steady and steadfast foundation. Now, I need to give you a little background here because it will help us to fully understand what Jesus is saying here. You see, during the hot summer months, the sand around the Sea of Galilee, where the Lord Jesus carried out a great deal of his ministry, was hard on the surface. But a wise builder would not be fooled by that. The wise builder knew that he needed to dig several feet below the surface to the bedrock in order to establish the foundation for his house. So this is, he says, this is the right way to build. Similarly, Jesus is saying the right way to build your life is not casually hearing his word and casually obeying them, but consistently listening to his voice and consistently living them out in your life. That is the person who is building his or her life the right way and on the right foundation. And you can ask yourself if you are that person or not. Now, here is something very interesting to take note of in our gospel story. The Lord Jesus doesn't say, when you consistently put my words into practice, your life will be problem free. Your life will be pain free. Life will always be pleasant and pleasing for you. Life will always be smooth sailing for you. And life will always be all smiles for you. No, not at all. Our Lord never promised that. That is why the Bible now brings us to the prediction, his prediction of troublesome times. We see that at the end of verse 48. At the end of the verse 48, he says, and when a flood occurred, the torrent or the river burst against the house and could not shake it. Why? Because it had been well built. Well, the flood speaks of trying times, troublesome times, tough times. It represents difficult and distressing times in the life of the believer who is building his or her life in the right way and on the right foundation. Many of you here know what I'm talking about. You have been through storms, even as you faithfully follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Take heart, my brother, my sister in Christ. Why? The believer who builds his or her life on the bedrock of Jesus and his message is building his or her life the right way and on the right foundation. Only the life that is built on the foundation of obedience to God's word stands firm in the storms of life. So let me ask you today, what storms are you facing in your life today? Death of a loved one? Disappointment that life is passing you by? Depression? Discouragement? Feeling defeated in life? Facing jail time? Family or financial woes? Failure to land a job and keep a job? Health and housing problems? Well, those are storms you will face and I will face at some point in my life or your life. But remember, Jesus knows all about your storms. Don't forget that. Good. Yes. So, in fact, Jesus himself predicted the storms that will come into your life and my life, even as we continually put into practice his voice in our lives. But above all, listen carefully, Jesus knows when to come into your storm and my storm to calm that storm for you and for me. Actually, Jesus' prediction of troublesome times to come for the believer who is putting his words into practice is repeated in the upper room in John chapter 16 verse 33, where Jesus says, in this world you have tribulation, but take heart, cheer up, for I have overcome the world. That is why I say to you, my brother and my sister, take heart. Jesus knows all about your storm, and he knows when to come and calm that storm in your life. Now please notice that our gospel story ends on a very sad and sorrowful note, as the Bible turns our attention to the parable of the person who pays no attention to the words of Christ in verse 49. The Bible says, but the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation, and a torrent burst against the house, and immediately it collapsed. And the ruin of that house was great. Now, as far as the Lord Jesus is concerned, my brother, you take heart. There are two classes of people. Those who hear his voice and put them into practice, and those who hear his voice and pay no attention to them. Jesus says the person who hears his teachings and pays no attention to them is building his or her life in the wrong way and on the wrong foundation. You see, such a person builds his life or her life on what he thinks or she thinks to be best, leaning on his own understanding or her own understanding and following the ways of this world. A lot of people you know are building their house in that way. But here is the catch. When the storms of life rage, his house or her house, which is without foundation, Jesus says, is completely destroyed. And oh, what a great loss. And what a great disappointment. Just think with me for a moment. Have you ever asked yourself, why will people build a house without any foundation? Well, perhaps to save time and avoid the hard work of preparing the foundation. Perhaps because they want to join their friends who have already settled in sandy beaches. Maybe because they haven't heard about the violent storms coming because they have discounted the reports. Or because they think disaster can't happen to them. Whatever their reason, and there are many reasons I could give, those with no foundation are short-sighted and will be sorry in the end. I tell you, friends, there is going to be a sad day of disappointment for many who make glib profession of Jesus' name. Jesus says, it's not about your smooth talk, but about the state of your foundation when storms come. I can talk all the smooth talk, but when the storm comes, it will reveal the state of my foundation. You see, when life is calm, cozy, and comfy, our foundations don't seem to matter. But when crises come, our foundations are tested. In other words, the storms reveal whether or not your life or my life is being built in the right way and on the right foundation. So let me ask you, during the last storm to hit your life, you had storms, right? What did you learn about your life's foundation? Did you discover that your life is for sure being built on the solid foundation of knowing and trusting Jesus Christ, the Rock of Ages? Mm-hmm. All good, my brother. Or did you discover that you had no foundation at all and almost drowned and went under in a storm? Recently, we had storms in the Midwest. Some people's houses were floating. And unfortunately, some people lost their lives. You wonder what they built their lives on. So what does this message, what does the Holy Spirit want you to take away from this message as I bring it to a close? Here is what. Please listen. If you are a genuine born again believer in Jesus Christ, and I know some of you here are born again believers in Jesus Christ, here's what the Holy Spirit wants you to take away from this simple and straightforward message. First of all, make a fresh commitment to depend on the Holy Spirit to consistently put Jesus' words into practice in your life. You see, our problem is not hearing the words of Jesus. Our problem is heeding the words of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is given to empower and enable us to obey Jesus, who is the Lord. Second, confess to Jesus that you have not made practicing or obeying his words an important spiritual discipline in your life. Most of us hear the word of God, but we haven't made a commitment that, Jesus, with your help, I will obey your word. And we need to do that today. Well, third, claim Jesus' forgiveness for your sins and failures. The Bible says if we confess our sins, whatever they are, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And fourth, come, my friend, my brother, my sister, and cast your cares upon Jesus. Tell him today about the storms you are facing in your life. And trust him to supernaturally intervene on your behalf. Because you cannot save yourself in this storm, and I cannot save myself in my storm. I need the supernatural help of the supernatural Christ, who is ready and willing to step into your storm. Now, if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, may I humbly say to you today that you are not building your life in the right way and on the right foundation. In fact, your life as it is now, in your state of unbelief and disobedience to Jesus, is actually a preparation for a fatal disappointment and destruction. But thank God, the good news to you today is this. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9, God is not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to what? Repentance. That offer is for you and for me. Why did God say that? It's because he loves you and wants his very best for you, not only in this life, but in the life soon to come. So today, simply admit to Jesus that you are a sinner. Acknowledge to Jesus today that you are building your life in the wrong way and on the wrong foundation. And accept Jesus' full offer of forgiveness on the basis of his death on the cross for your sins and my sins, and his burial to put away your sins, and his resurrection from the dead on the third day to bring you into a right standing with a holy God. And the Bible says you will be saved and made a new creation and set apart for God in this life. All his purposes will be accomplished in your life, in this life, and then in the life soon to come. So the ball is now in your court. If you are a believer and you are going storms today, going through some storms in your life, whatever they are, remember Jesus knows them already. And he's willing to step into your storm to give you that supernatural help you need. So please, if you are one of those people here today, come and we will pray with you so that Jesus will be working supernaturally on your behalf. But if you are not a believer in Jesus, you have never put your trust in Jesus, please come here and I will help you to see Jesus as your Lord and Master, not only in this life, but also in the life soon to come.